This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Bill Shear and Guts Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. For more information, please visit gutschurch.com.
Hey, how many guys ever been to a firecracker stand? Anybody ever been to a firecracker stand? How many guys love firecracker stands? Man, you'll just love the... No, let me see your hands. You love... Stand if you love the firecracker stand. Just stand right now if you love the firecracker stand. You know why? Because you've never worked at a firecracker stand. Sit down. And I'll tell you why. I worked at a firecracker stand. I'll tell you, you're wondering, because most of what we do is amazing around this church. Would you guys agree? Man, most of the things you see, man, the things are amazing. Our kids department, other things. You guys know we've got a special needs. We have a special needs classroom in our services for kids. Just amazing things that are happening here in the church. But I'll tell you, there was one time where I wasn't spirit-led. And that was when I signed that contract that we'd run that firecracker stand in Catoosa. You know the year the tornado hit Catoosa? Well, that's the year we did it. So we're out there, and our firecracker stand was under a tree that had a wash machine stuck in the top of it. You know, and I don't know that many people people say, man, where's your firecracker stand? It's like you just drive east out on 44, and, man, you take old 44, and you get the old 66, and you look at this. There, when you find the wash machine up at the top of the tree, you're there. Okay, but I'm a cheer dad. Did you guys know that? And some less than intelligent, some person made the decision that a fundraiser for cheer was going to be a firecracker stand. And the firecracker stand we had the year I worked in it was when you go south and you're going through Bixby and then it makes a hard left and you go like the Leonard and Stone Bluff. How many of you guys know where you're going? And it's a straightaway. And I'm telling you, if you're ever going to speed, that's where you want to do it. It's a big straightaway. Big Bob, you ever seen a cop on that road? I don't even think they patrol it. You can just put the pedal to the metal, baby. Just let her rip. But I'm just telling you, but when that thing turns left, how many of you guys know what I'm talking about? How many of you guys get out? You need to get out more. You need to go survey the landscape. But anyway, the road goes left, in which everyone who drives in that road goes left. But no, our firecracker stand, when that road goes left, there is a gravel road that goes straight. And that's what our firecracker stand was on. It was on about a mile down that road. There was like, I worked it, and it's in the summer, and it's awesome. It's in like August. Is that right? There's a cheer mom. Sonia, it's like in August, isn't it? It's like a million degrees, and they have a fan. They have one of those batteries. They got a car battery, and they got these wires and these things attached to it, and a fan that's like this big. You know, and I'm a decent-sized fella. I can't use a 4-inch fan. But anyway, we're there, and the people that come by, they come by, and they've got a sock with change in it to buy firecrackers, okay? Because we're south of Bixby, and, you know. So they come, and they're going to buy firecrackers. And here's how they do it. They come up to the counter, and it's like this. That one right there. Yeah, what does it do? Well, you know, I'm a salesman. I said, well, I'll tell you what it does. You light it, and you run. Because it's going to blow up. Okay. What does that one do? Well, that one, you light it, and you run, and it shoots up in the air, and it pops, and a bunch of colors spray out, and then it blows up. Okay. What does that one do? Well, that one, you light it, and it blows up. I tell you, I don't much care about firecrackers anymore. They've lost their deal with me because I'm too familiar with those firecrackers now. You know, and I want you to be careful that church doesn't become that for you. Because let me tell you, man, people, I called this guy on a piece of property for the church this week, and I said, I want to talk to you about this piece of property. He said, man, I want to talk to you. He said, man, my wife and I drive by your church, and what is going on there? Every time we drive by, it's just packed with cars. I said, yeah, it's an amazing group of people. Would you agree? I don't really know what to say, because I want to know, what day are you talking about, or is it during the week, or is it on the weekend, or what could it be? And he just said, every time I go by, it's just, man, and that's his impression. And his impression is this grandiose fire display, fireworks that are going off in here. And you know what? That's the truth. But we can't get so familiar with the firecrackers that we lose interest. And see, and I think that there's a certain entitlement that we get because we're children. You know, we're sons, and there's an entitlement about God's house that it's just, yeah, it just happens. Man, do you know how many people give their lives to Jesus in this place? Do you know how many people give their money that they've committed to giving? Do you know how much money people give just to help hurting people and to fund things? Man, to pay for a sound system over in the youth building that'll shake our building during our services, and I don't want them to turn it down. If you're here going, well, have those kids turn that music down, you're in the wrong church. Because those kids like that loud music and that boom, boom, boom music. You know what I mean? And I don't like it much, but when I was a kid, I probably would have. If I was a kid right now, I probably would have. And we've got to look at this and understand, man, that the world sees this as a fireworks display, and we can't be so familiar with the firecrackers that we've just lost interest in it. And I want to, can I help you pique your interest tonight? This is going to be one of those maybe change your life kind of messages. And it may only last, I was telling some guys before the service, it may only last 5 or 10 minutes. Because every time I went to the Word to bring more to this message, I had a restraint. A restraint of the Lord. Like, it's like, okay, this is what it's going to be. So do you have your Bibles? Are you thankful for God's word? Do you put a premium on God's word in your life? Well, let me tell you, this is going to open your eyes to some things, okay? And there's some messages that just change your life. You know, I honestly believe the last two Sunday nights have changed, or excuse me, last two Sundays have changed my life. You know, it's interesting. How would you like to be the person that makes a decision, which is me? You make a decision, nobody makes you do it. You do it on your own, that you're going to teach a group of people backgrounds from A to Z. Church experience from A to Z. Just, you're going to teach them that they can hear God's voice and they can be led by God's Spirit. It's like, how do you do that? I'm telling you, I got finished preaching 3 services on Sunday morning, and I sat down in a chair at my house, and I was going to eat with my family, and I just sat there, and Sandy said, "You okay?" I said, "Man, I'm great." It was so fulfilling. It was so satisfying. But it was like I'd been in a 3-hour street fight. I mean, it was like I'd shot the movie Braveheart or something that morning. But that's what it was like. But man, that's what I bought into. Man, the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in heavenly places. And there's things that have agitated you in your life, and you maybe haven't realized that it's just a familiar spirit because of some goofy religious background that you might have. You know, this church isn't big. Like our bylaws don't have a bunch of do's and don'ts. Yeah, you know what? If you're going to get up on the stage and you're going to preach or you're going to sing, man, there's some standards that you're going to be held to that really the common people that come to church won't. Man, we don't have that here. But if you're going to step up in leadership, yeah, you know, you're held to a stricter standard is what the Bible says. Paul says there's things that are lawful, but not expedient. You know, there's things that you can do in your life that maybe you can loosely justify it in the Word, but why would you want to do that? Why wouldn't you want to live your life to where you're growing to a place that you're held to a stricter standard? That's the question, really, that all of us, it's probably another message. Why wouldn't you want to be held to that stricter standard? Because, man, that's what God's looking for us to mature to. That's what maturity is, that we're held to a stricter standard. And we're not the ones saying, well, how far is too far? It's like, no, I'm not even going there. Man, I'm not going to be about that. But, you know, to set this message up, you guys know in the first chapter of Acts, Jesus promised that power would come upon his disciples when the Holy Spirit came upon them. He said, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. This thing, you know what he's telling these guys? You're going to make an impact in your community, but this thing's going to be big, all right? And you should write that down in your notes for your own life. You're going to make an impact in your home and in your community, but it's going to be big beyond that, okay? And that's what Jesus promised. The second chapter of Acts, man, the promise of the Holy Spirit came to fruition in the upper room. Was filled, and it was 120 men in the upper room came into one accord in 3 days, and the Holy Spirit came in as a rushing mighty wind or a sonic boom that went off in that room, and there was percussion in that room, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues, and as the Spirit gave them utterance, but the Bible says that they, like cloven tongues of fire, there was a power that came upon them, and it was manifest in their lives, physically manifest in their lives, and they could pray in an unknown tongue. And so then we go to the third chapter of Acts, okay? And it's where I'll pick this up here, okay? The third chapter of Acts, and it's coming off the heels of the fireworks display. It's coming off the heels of the promise that Jesus gave in the first chapter of Acts, and it was fulfilled in the second chapter of Acts. Now, what are you going to do with it? And I'm telling you, there's people in this room, there's people in Skytech, there's people watching the internet. Okay, what are you going to do with this now? Man, that power comes into your life. What are you going to do with it? Well, we're fixing to answer that. Acts, the first chapter, let's go to the first verse. Now, Peter and John went up together. I've circled the word together in my Bible. Too many of you guys are isolated and you're doing things on your own. You're making decisions on your own. You're making all this stuff. Man, the Bible doesn't say there's direction in a multitude of counsel, and that frustrates me. There's safety in a multitude of counsel. Well, wait, I want direction. If I'm going to go ask for counsel, I want direction. No, 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 you don't get direction. Remember Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus? He's on his back on that road, and he's looking up at Jesus. The light knocked him down. He's like, oh, my gosh. And Jesus said, why do you kick against the pricks? He goes, no, I'm done. I'm not going to fight this anymore. And you know what he said? Just tell me what to do. And I think that's where a lot of people are today, especially men. Just tell me what to do. Man, give me the standard, and I will hit that standard. Man, with your children, can I help you raise with just a little bit of fatherly, just child-raising advice? Put expectations on them. You know what? They'll rise to your expectations. If your expectations are low or minimal, or if you're thinking, well, yeah, you're really not equipped to do that, son. No, you know what? Man, give them expectations that you could be the absolute very best if you just do your best. All right, and what that does, it gives them a little bit of responsibility, but they'll rise up to that occasion. They'll rise to the expectations that you put on them. But they went up together, Peter and John, two-thirds of the sons of thunder, I might add, together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Okay, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they, and I've circled, laid daily. This was customary. This was not the first time they saw this fella. This is not the first time they heard this guy. But they'd taken this guy that had been lame, been crippled all of his life. They carried him and they laid him at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms for those who entered the temple. Okay, he's just there begging. Man, there's a little kid that my mom, who heads up the ministry in Haiti, and her husband Jerry, they ran across this little kid that was 8 years old. And what did he weigh, Eric? Like 18, what did he weigh, Wes? Like 14 pounds, 18 pounds, something crazy. 7-year-old kid, 6-year-old kid weighed 14 or 15 pounds. And they asked his mom had 5 other kids. And she said, why don't you feed him? And they said, we need him to be able to beg. So this kind of feels like that to me. Somebody carried him to that gate, and the gate Beautiful, and they laid him by that gate, and he was kind of a revenue stream probably for that family because he'd been crippled since his mother's womb, and he was asking for alms. Verse 4, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but what I do have, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, and here's the deal. He lifted him up. He yanked him up. He lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. So he, the man, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. Peter grabbed him by the arm and he pulled him up off the ground where he was in the air. And when he hit the ground, his ankles and her feet were strong and he was able to, he caught himself and he's like, oh my gosh, for the first time in his life, he just stood on his own. And you know what? That wasn't good enough. Nobody had to teach him how to walk. Nobody had to teach him how to jump. As soon as he realized he could stand, guess what? He ran and jumped and he praised God. Now let's keep reading. So he, leaping up and stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. This is pivotal for you. A personal word for you tonight. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. In Acts 13:4, it said, and when they saw Peter and John and perceived they were amazed that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they'd been with Jesus. It's like, oh my gosh, you can tell they have the same attributes that he had. I mean, that's the connection that they made. Some bullet points here. Number one, and it's in verse one. They were going to pray. Man, and I hate to get all catechism on you, but that's where it all starts. I'm telling you, and they weren't praying. They were going to pray. They were on their way to pray. Okay, and this is where the phenomenal aspect of this story really plays out when we really dig into it a little bit. They were going to pray. But then the second takeaway here is the miracle didn't happen in the prayer meeting. The miracle happened at the gate on the way in. See, we're thinking about things when we invite people to church or we bring people into church or when people are walking into church. Everybody's thinking it's going to happen here and now. And let me just tell you, man, Peter and John had such a zest, had such a zeal, had such a passion and energy. Man, that there was a leadership demand that was on their lives that, man, God had done. When they got filled with the Holy Spirit, guess what? Man, it ignites a leadership element in our lives. And that came into play. The miracle happened at the gate on the way in. It happened in the parking lot. It happened on the sidewalk. It happened at the door in the hallway. It happened when they were checking their kids in. Man, that's powerful. Man, that's like, wait a second. Oh, my gosh, I know everybody's looking this direction for that miracle to be produced and happen. And guess what? God's looking this direction for the miracle to happen. See, what we've got to understand in Ephesians, the Bible says God's given gifts unto men, Ephesians 4. God's given gifts unto men, first apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for what? The work of the ministry. Oh, my gosh. Man, do we all come to the unity of the faith? Man, do we all come to the unity of the faith? Man, why did God give us the measure of faith? Why is there a measure of faith that God gave all of us? See, that's the thing that people aren't doing the math on. Do you understand? I received the same measure of faith that you received. Yet, most people have a higher expectation of the faith that I operate in than the faith that anybody else operates in here. Does that make sense? Why? Because that's the way it's been generationally for you looking at church, and it's the wrong way to look at it. I'm telling you, you want to be a game changer? Man, miracles start happening before people even get into the sanctuary. Man, and then what does it become? Let me tell you what I want these services to be. Let me tell you, I frustrate the kind of enter into the holy of holies and usher in the Spirit of God kind of worship people. I frustrate them. Because I'm not looking for that in our services. What I'm looking for is celebration. Man, I'll tell you what, man, every bit of bad news that people have received in their lives, they could come in here, all you're going to get in here is good news. And let me tell you, man, most people, there's so much bad news in their life, they receive it like they're like, man, you're just tripping on me, man. And then they come in here and the good news is tripping on them too. Man, the good news messes with them like the bad news messes with them. Man, no, you know what? We got to jolt them out of that. And how do we do that? I want to do that with music. I want to do that where this service here is people running and jumping and praising God. The last thing I want is a band that's all heel heavy up here and playing their music and studio sound. Trust me, I like good music. Trust me, I demand excellence on this stage. But I'm just telling you too, man, there's got to be a part of it where we just got to celebrate in here. Do you understand? When you walked in these doors, the people that are looking at you, there's an expectation for you to be the victor and not the victim. Yeah, you know what? Bad things happen to us. And you know what the word says? I'm giving you power to get over it. I'm giving you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the evil one. And nothing shall by any means harm you. Oh my gosh. Do you love the attitude? Do you love the attitude in God's word? Do you love the attitude that the Spirit of God brings as we orate that, as we communicate that? Is it just me? I mean, how in the world can you say, how in the world can you quote that verse and you say, well, yeah, you know, greater's he, I guess, than who's in me. Like, you know, it's then he, you know, he, big H, he that's in the he, greater's he. I don't know if I'm feeling it today. No, you know what? That's when you profess that. When you're feeling like you're squid mess at the bottom of the ocean, you couldn't get any lower than you are, that's when you stand up and just say, you know, I just need to clear the air. Greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. I have been knocked down and I have gotten back up. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The very hope of glory is on the inside of me. I'm telling you, that's the kind of attitude that we have to take in life no matter what happens. And you know what? And I understand that the enemy's going to fill you full of deception that's going to translate in your head, why did this happen to me? This church stuff doesn't work. No. The Bible never says things aren't going to happen. The Bible says you're going to be able to overcome whatever happens. And that's what we are. We're victorious because we're overcomers. We're not victorious because we're bobbing and weaving through life and those fiery darts aren't it. No, let me just tell you, those fiery darts are aimed at us relentlessly. The Bible says we can't be ignorant of the devil's devices. You lay your guard down at all, guess what? You become prey. Because I'll tell you, the enemy is a predator and he is hungry to attack your soul. See, so we've got to be those people that we understand, man, there's healing in our hands and there's salvation on our lips. And Peter was giving him no choice. Do you understand that? He had never walked before. And Peter reached down and you know what he said? Look at me. Look at me right now. And the guy looked at him as it had his attention, and he grabbed him by the arm. He said, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus, what I do have, I'm giving you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. What does Mark 11:24 say? Mark 11:24 says that, man, you believe, man, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you receive it and you have it. And you know what's interesting? Whatever you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and that them is italicized, it's added. So that it's understandable. You know how that scripture really reads? Corey, you ready for this? A little bit of faith teaching? Here's how Mark 11:24 actually translated and reads. Whatever you ask when you pray, believe that you receive and you'll have. I love that. They didn't need to add the words them. Believe that you receive them and you'll have them. No, believe that you receive and you will have. Because I think too many people in the church, too many people in this room, you've got an identity as a have-not. There's the haves, and then there's the have-nots. And then you know what? For us, what we've got to do is, do you understand globally? Most of the world lives on how much a day, Eric? $2 a day. That means any of you guys, some of you guys live on $200 a day, and it's not enough. Do you understand how rich you are comparatively? You know what? The Bible says don't compare yourself among yourselves. It's not wise. I'm telling you, you sitting here right now as a believer in Jesus with the opportunity to speak faith, to not receive doubt, you know what that makes you? Rich as all get out. It really does. The word of faith is in you. It's in your heart. It's in your mouth. You have to speak it. You have to believe it. You have to speak it. You have to believe it. You have to speak it. You have to be relentless with it. You know why? The devil is. Man, how many of you guys are moody? How many of you guys get down? How many of you guys suffer depression? How many of you guys don't know a way out? How many of you guys are seeking the medication to help you with how you feel, to get you through the day? I'm just telling you, man, we've got to understand that God has given us an answer for the whole thing. Peter and John understood that. They took a risk. Man, if Peter would have reached down and grabbed that guy and pulled him up and that guy would have flopped back on the ground, he'd have looked mean. But you know what? And I guarantee you that thought came to Peter's mind. The next takeaway is that you're a connector of the power. There's a current that runs in us. You're a connector to the current of the power. And what I love about this analogy is that there has to be a currency to it. You're a connector to the current of the power of Christ Almighty. That's who you are. So please, can I go kind of coach on you a little bit? Do you mind? Get over yourself. Get over it. You are connected to the power source that formed the earth, the heavens and the earth, that spoke light into existence. You are tapped into that same power. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. Jesus said you will receive power, dunamis power, when the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses. Witnesses of what? Of that power. Man, we've got to look at this, that we're his witnesses. Man, we're glorifying God by what? By being that connector to the current of the power of Christ. Man, the next point is that Peter said, in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. Keep the name of Jesus out in front. Then speak in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Man, and let me just help you. I mean, it's that this attitude comes into play here in so much of what we do. Faith is an attitude. Just like depression would be an attitude. Just like fear would be an attitude. Faith is an attitude. We have to take on an attitude of faith. And you know what it does? It creates an atmosphere that the Holy Spirit can operate in. And it's evidenced right here in what Peter and John performed. And here's, I'm a simple man. This is as simple as Peter reaching down with his hand. That's as simple as it is. It's as simple as it is. It's as simple as him reaching down to whomever with his own hand. That's all it was. He has no other equipment that you don't have. You have everything that he has. He just activated his faith. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. We need people in these services. I'll just tell you, and this is my prayer for our church, is we need people coming in who are walking and leaping and praising God. I can't wait to get in there. I got to tell somebody. I want to celebrate. I want to seal this victory that I have. I want to seal it during that music. Now it's not. These guys, I don't want these guys up here just singing songs and playing music. I want them up here celebrating the victory that Jesus won. so dynamically and so passionately that it makes us want to. Man, it gives me no choice but to. But we need people coming in here walking and leaping and praising God. And finally, and this is the title of the message, whose responsibility is it to bring the wonder and amazement? And that's what verse 10 says. The whole place, the whole temple was filled with wonder and amazement. What we do to fill this place, and it's got to produce wonder and amazement. It can't be, this cannot be manufactured anywhere else. I my hope for my life is what I'm about in my life, and the people that I get to graciously serve with are people that surely God is in this place. Surely the Lord is in this place, that's what's produced. What we do needs to fill this place with wonder and amazement. God deserves that from us. God snatched us out of the fiery, lifted us up out of the miry clay, set our feet upon firm footing, upon the rock, planted us on the rock. Man, now, whatever storm hits our life, we're not going to be moved. You know, Wednesday night, man, this room's full of people that you have taken the enemy's best shot and you are still standing. And I love that. I just love to get up in the morning and, man, I let my dogs out and I walk around and I'll be in the backyard, I'll be in the front yard, and I'll just be like, man, I'm still standing. But it can't be like that firecracker stand where, like, yeah, you light it, it goes boom. Yeah, it goes up in the air, makes colors, goes boom. We're so familiar with it. The key, Peter and John, were filled with wonder and amazement. That's why it could be produced. Peter and John were filled with expectation. And I'm just going to ask you to consider that in your own life. What are you expecting God to do in your life? Because you know what? Why that was produced? Because Peter brought the trump card for what the enemy dealt a hand to that guy, at the crippled guy at the Gate Beautiful. Here's your hand. You got a 9-high fiddly wah diddly. There's nothing that matches. There's no common suits. You're just in there. That's a bad hand. Oh, here, I got a card for you. This trumps everything. The name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. Jesus healed on the Sabbath. They said, Jesus forgave the guy on the Sabbath. And they said, how dare you? Who do you think you are, forgiving on the Sabbath? He said, oh, which is greater, for him to be forgiven on the Sabbath or for me to say, pick up your bed and walk? And they're like, what are you talking about? Peter was there that day. Peter saw the master. Peter saw how Jesus handled it. Peter saw Jesus roll up on the balls of his feet. Peter saw that spiritual dynamic aggression in Jesus. Said, okay, you guys got a problem with me forgiving him on the Sabbath? Well, here, put this in your pipe and smoke it. Pick up that bed and walk. And the guy did it, and they're like, And you know what? They went to their little huddle and they're like, who is this guy? And then you know what he did? He gave it to us. Peter and John are in the temple and they're like, who are these people? They went to the next community and you know what they said? Oh my gosh, you know who's here? These are those who've turned the world upside down and now they're with us. See, that's what the church is supposed to be. The church is supposed to just turn the world upside down. Because, you know, the world's broken. And it doesn't work because it's so top-heavy. And you know what we do? We just flip it. We come in serving. We come in with servant leadership. We come in with an attitude like Jesus had with the man that cried out to the blind Bartimaeus, cried out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus said, "What can I do for you?" That's how we come in. That's how we win. In the name of Jesus, followed by what you desire, and then you just act on it.
Thanks for listening to the Guts Church Podcast. For more information on service times, please visit gutschurch.com.